I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Oof, oof, oof. Back for another week.
It's your pals, A-Dog and M in the morning. Arr, arr, ooh.
Yeah, ooh, yeah, we're in the dog pound. Oof, 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 oof.
Bow, 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 bow.
Oh, it's a sweaty one.
Watch out for any flying geese. Ooga.
Hopefully you shed those bad vibes because we're here to claw our way into your headphones.
Yep, your ear holes.
Yep. Hey guys, it's breaking backwards. We're around in the bend. We're closing out this thing.
We really are, mm-hmm. And it's like a different show. I always say this, but it really is. This season is a significantly different show to me.
Just as soon as it began, the Tuco saga has ended.
Yeah,
we are through with that man.
That blew me away. That like they had such a big, weird character for 4 episodes, and he's so important to the rest of the series.
Thank you, writer strike. Yeah, we watched Crazy Handful of Nothing, an episode I like pretty good.
Yeah, this one was okay. Nothing egregious happened.
Nothing egregious happened. That's true. Some egregious thing to the laws of physics happened, but we'll get into that. But yeah, no, it was romp adjacent, I would say, near the end.
It truly is. It's a serious romp. It's not kind of like a wacky madcapper.
There's no big magnets making cops look all dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's no standalone exploits in this one. It very much is its own. It's very much tied into the plot. As is all things with the show, I don't know why I said that. I've been up for a very long time.
Yeah, Meg stays awake a lot. Can we talk about your new roommate?
Yeah, it's a American Hairless Terrier. It's
a dog with no hair.
Yeah, it's a naked dog, and it has to wear clothes.
Can you tell the audience her name, please? Because I do love this part.
The Senator.
Her name's the Senator. And she's got a little suit, I think, or you're getting one.
One when she's a little bigger. It's just she's so small, right? She's so, so small. She's the smallest. And a lot of the times when I'm out in the early morning and she won't go to the bathroom, one of the things I do is I pick her up and I stand her on her hind legs and then I go 3, 2, 1, and I
Does
do
that
lift
work?
Off up to the, no, it doesn't help. She doesn't know what's going on, but it's funny to me because she's so little.
That is fun. When she does pee outside, you give her like a lot of kudos and a treat and be like, good job.
I said, good job, the Senator. The Senator went potty.
Yeah. You got to get all up in their shit and positively reinforce that mofo.
Yeah. Yeah, and then sometimes she doesn't go on the potty pads, but it's still okay. At least she
Oh, yeah, potty pads?
What?
Yeah, potty pads in the
apartment.
Yeah, in the
little balcony there. Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so that's been weird, but she's keeping me up, and that's not great.
Yeah. I haven't heard her bark yet. I'm assuming it's pretty yelpy.
Yeah, I did take her out on, I think, Thursday for like a little walk. And she saw some other dogs on that walk, and she was like, then she barked at them, and it was pretty cute because it was like this tiny little 4.5-pound dog, like against these like 45-pound dogs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my money's on the Senator.
Yeah, she's feisty.
She's got the government behind her.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I got a lot of sleep last night, so we're fine.
Okay,
I'll make up for it.
You'll steer this ship. That's great.
Yeah. I think I have a bit of a sinus headache, so that's my Ooh. Vice right now. But that's fine.
Sorry, that sucks.
It's okay. Coffee's taking care of it.
Well, that's better then.
Yeah. That's fine. It's not making me sound sinusy, so I'm fine.
Yeah, but they still make you feel like. Whenever I have a sinus headache, I feel like I have an empty, dry. Heat in my face. I don't know how to describe it with pressure. It's not great.
Before we get into the action, I would like to bring up something that Meg brought up to me off mic. Meg, last week we had a lengthy discussion about the movie The Woman in the Window, which you said was bad.
Yeah.
And you've just told me you watched it a second time.
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners why?
Because I was having dinner and I needed something to do.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. That's what YouTube's for me, but we're all different.
I tried to start this new show, and I can't even remember what it's called, and it's got Simon Pegg in it, and it's got a lot to do with cryptocurrency, and it's made by Crackle, and what's that one called?
No fucking clue. Yeah. I didn't know Crackle was still around.
Yeah, no, Crackle made this show with Simon.
Crackle, they made and released Joe Dirt, too. That's what all I know Crackle for.
Oh, wow. I kind of want to look it up. I tried to get into it, right? It's about, like, Simon Pegg plays, like, a crooked cop. It's not even Simon Pegg. It's Martin Freeman. It's Martin Freeman.
That's racist. Wow. Because they're both British.
Okay. It's Martin Freeman, and he plays a crooked cop. And okay. Crooked, like, FBI agent who's, like, extorting people. And he, you know, I don't know, somebody he's involved with has a son who gets involved with somebody making a cryptocurrency called GenCoin. I tried to watch it. I really did. And there was so much fucking. You would think I'd love it with all the fucking.
Yeah,
it didn't work. So
fucking.
Then I went back to Woman in the Window. Zero fucking. It makes no sense. And it's kind of a hate watch thing, you know.
Okay, I get that. I think Martin Freeman's one of our best actors. I like him a lot.
I think he's handsome. Like, I think he's a good-looking guy. And
I don't even think he's good-looking. Wow, okay. That's a whole new.
Wow.
I think he's kind of gross-looking.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Martin Freeman's attractive at all.
Martin Freeman.
Yeah, Jim from The British Office. Bilbo Baggins from The Hobbit.
You don't think he's cute?
I don't think he's cute. I think he's good at acting.
I don't think he's cute. And he is divorced now, and so
watch out. Ooh, get that.
I'm gonna try.
Get it.
I don't think we run in the same circles at all, and he probably has other women that find him cute that are much more important than I am.
All the cutest celebrities are getting divorced right now. Him, John Mulaney.
Oh my gosh, John Mulaney. That, you don't have any hot takes about how that shook out at all?
I don't. I wasn't following it close enough.
Okay, so he announced his divorce from his wife of 6 years on Monday, and then announced on Wednesday he was dating Olivia Munn, who is someone who reached out to him while he was in rehab back at the beginning of the end of 2020, beginning of 2021. You don't think that's a little shitty?
Probably, but I honestly don't know the full story, so I'm not going to comment.
Okay, well.
Maybe his wife was really mean. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he, like, wanted her to poop on his chest the whole marriage, and she wouldn't, and Olivia Munn did it right away.
She couldn't.
I'm cutting all of this out. I'm not including any of this. But also, Olivia Munn, nice.
Yeah, she is a pretty lady, but she feels like everybody's fallback, and then they move on to whoever they're
going to. Who else fell back into Olivia Munn? And we should probably get off this soon, because I am cutting all this out.
Aaron Rodgers was dating her, and then I think
Aaron
he was dating
Rogers
Danica Patrick, and now he's engaged to someone else. But it was like
Aaron Rodgers and John Mulaney are Eskimo brothers now. That's fun.
That is fun. That is wow. What, to go from a professional athlete to fucking pale, like, stand-up comedian? Like,
yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. I bet Aaron Rodgers is irritating.
I think he sucks, but I hate him because he's a fucking filthy Packer. But
I like the Packers. They're my favorite football team if I have to pick one. But you didn't know this about me?
You like the Packers.
I got a Packers jersey in my closet right now. I guess I am keeping this in.
I'm a Bears fan. And I'm not that big of a football person. But, like, just because I'm from Chicago, this is a problem, Adam.
When you're from Iowa, you pick Bears, Vikings, or Packers. And my brother likes the Packers, so I picked them.
Do you even know what it, like, a horse collar tackle is?
No.
Okay, well then I guess you don't know that much about football. Yeah.
What is a horse collar tackle?
It's when they grab you by around the
collar. I could
have
guessed that. Okay.
And, like, force you down, and that's not legal. You can't do that. So I feel like...
Does Aaron do that a lot? Why did this come up?
I'm just wondering what your functional knowledge of football is.
I played football.
Besides the bit that you don't know anything about sports, because I want to know... If you
Touchback.
Understand how terrible the Packers
Fullback.
Are as a franchise.
Why are they bad as a franchise?
Because their fucking fans are so awful and they're so mean. And
wow, you're calling several of our listeners awful.
I don't care. I'm a Bears fan. They're fucking... I just don't like the fucking Packers.
In my travels,
yeah,
the most annoying fan base I have found is the Vikings fans. I think they're the most annoying people in the whole fucking world.
The Vikings, so that, really?
Vikings, more than Bears, more than way more than Packers. I think Vikings fans are awful. All of them. As a monolith, they're all bad.
I think as a monolith, Packers fans are terrible.
Okay.
Especially wow. the fired. Ones that border Illinois and Wisconsin. I think those ones are bad. It's like the Packers fans, by large, they're all like, look at how good our team is working. Oh, and then they rub the Bears fans' faces in it. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't even act like he's, like, concentrating when he plays football. He never looks like he's actually, like, working hard at his job. He's just like, hey, guys, time to play some football. And I don't know. He just seems like an
asshole. I do think that's the right attitude for playing a game. but that's just me. So maybe that's why I like him. His weird Christian shit's what bothers me about him. But
What is the shit that – is he really
he's
Christian?
Like – yeah, not even – it's not even that in your face about it. It doesn't even bother me that much. But it's just like – yeah.
Well, anyways, he used to fuck Olivia Munn now, and then Danica Patrick, and now some lady, I don't remember her name, but she's from the movies, and they're engaged, and and now we know that John Mulaney and Aaron Rodgers are Eskimo brothers, like you said, and I wonder which she prefers, Olivia Munn, a funny...
I'll have to keep some part of this in, but I'll figure that out.
It's almost 20 minutes in, and I'm just...
I think being a fan of any team is inherently kind of stupid because they're all the same. Because the players, Brett Favre played for the Packers and the Vikings. Who cares?
Well, I don't like Brett Favre, period, because he's a big Trumpy guy.
Is he a big Trumpy guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I become more of a Trumpy guy.
What?
Yeah, that's changed. I'm more of a, I like him now. I used to hate him.
But it's changed?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you read this stuff about the election, but they stole it.
Oh, did they steal?
Yeah, I've been reading blogs.
Yeah, to be careful. We're going to get yelled at. Someone's going to go, even though you're doing a bit, you can't say this stuff because people believe you're telling the truth.
Oh, will I get demonetized? Shit. Okay.
Yeah, they can't, remember all the money.
They can't cut the money faucet off. Okay. Oh, I don't like him. I don't like that Trump guy. I think he's too loud.
I think that Trump guy, I heard that he, every night in Mar-a-Lago, mm-hmm. after dinner, and this was something I saw on Twitter, so...
Is this real or a bit? I can't tell what you're talking
about. This is not a bit. I'll send it to you later, but apparently somebody tweeted, like, every night after dinner in the evenings in Mar-a-Lago, Trump will go down to the, like, front porch of his Mar-a-Lago house and speak mm-hmm. to crowds of, like, a couple dozen people.
Oh, I've seen this. Yeah.
And just complain about an election that he says was stolen from like 6 months ago. And just thinking about that as like what he does, because that's just like so bizarre. Like he can't be mentally well, right?
It's he is the living embodiment of the last few minutes, the last few hours, or the last bits of Citizen Kane.
He's
wandering
just
around
wild.
A house by himself. Wild.
Yeah.
No one can say no to him. He's accomplished everything he could have in his wildest dreams, but it's never enough. Because the hole in his heart's too big.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. The one thing he couldn't accomplish, being a two-term president. I shouldn't say that. This is going to look foolish when he wins again. But
if he wins again, I'm just going to create a colony of boats that's tied together by nylon rope and sail off into international waters and create my own floating nation.
Yeah, sure. You can do that. I'll probably just... deal with it and just be pissed off for 4 years again.
I don't know, man. We barely got out of last time. Remember the pandemic?
Well, the frustrating part if he wins again is he's going to try to run for a third time.
That would be bad.
That's going to happen. He'll do it. I don't know.
Yeah. The structure of our Constitution. I don't know. But then also apparently they announced the like DA in New York announced that it's no longer a civil investigation. They're pursuing criminal charges against
him. For Trump, for the company stuff. I don't know. Colbert had a funny joke about that. He's like, oh, yeah, we got him. And he's like, I want to write this down so I know where it was. And he moves over a Molar Time T-shirt. and it's very funny. Colbert, we like him, right?
Yeah, I think he's good. We're both Colbert. Second City alumni, so we like him because he's a Second City alum.
Yeah. It's weird to me he looks so much older now.
That is strange.
Yeah, it's been... Because Jon Stewart kind of always looked old, so when he aged. It was fine. Colbert kind of like, now he looks like an old fucking man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm? Well, Breaking Bad is a show that's good.
Yes.
Or I think so. I think it's well done. I think they put work into it. I don't think anyone can take that away.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's a lazy show. Nobody phoned it in. They definitely put some effort into every episode.
Yeah. They never go to a. There's not an episode where they just play clips of old episodes.
Yeah. They're not
so
like,
far
remember,
at least.
They're never trapped in a snowbank and they're like, well, this isn't so bad. Remember when? And it does a pan over and they're like all in a, you know, on a carnival ride that's malfunctioned or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Meg, before we start talking about the episode, do you want to take a trip to a place that we haven't been to in a while?
I mean, I'm already liking the sound of this.
Do you want to go to the Pander Dome?
Yes.
Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome!
All right, everybody, welcome to the Pander Dome, where we look at the podcast analytics and we pander to the people who are already listening to the podcast. Meg, I found out this very day, which is why I wanted to go to this place that we haven't been in like 6 months, that we have a significant amount of listeners in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Specifically, Cambridge.
So where Harvard is?
Yeah, someone at Harvard's listening to us, Meg, or a handful. I don't know.
That's...
and they...
something. I'm blown away by that fact. The idea that there's somebody in or around the Harvard campus that is enjoying us, or just somebody who doesn't go to Harvard at all and just lives in Cambridge, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess a lot more people. It's pretty arrogant of us to assume the smartest among everyone in Cambridge is the one listening to this podcast. But I hope it is a student and he's like, y'all, everybody, they're talking about us right now because of the Pander Dome.
Oh, yeah, though, that makes sense. Harvard Yard is in the yard.
Socks. Go, Socks.
Here's some good things about Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, we got to pander to them.
Let's
Massachusetts.
Boston baked beans, both, I guess, the idea of the baked beans and the candy, which I've never had.
You have a senator that I legitimately have a crush on. Her name's Elizabeth. Maybe you've heard of her. Warren. It's Elizabeth Warren. I just wanted, in case you weren't.
I think that Boston has a high Irish population, which is I have an affinity for Irish stuff, so that's cool.
Oh yeah, you do. Yeah. They got, you know, there's a lot of like good, like critically acclaimed movies that take place in Boston. That feels like an Oscar category all on its own.
Boston movies.
Boston Crime. Departed. The Town.
You got old stuff in your town. That's something we don't have in LA, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Well, in New York we do. We got a lot of old stuff. It's pretty sweet. It's well documented that Mitt Romney listens to this podcast, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
We've covered that. Do you think, because he used to be the governor of Massachusetts, right?
No, is that right?
I believe so.
He wasn't always just in Utah?
No, he moved to Utah recently.
Oh, that's weird. I'd sorry.
And he moved to Utah almost specifically to become a senator there.
Wow.
Yeah, he was the 70th governor of Massachusetts from 2003 to 2007. Yeah. He did a version, like a proto version of the Affordable Care Act, and that's why Democrats were mad because they're like, we're just doing what Mitt Romney did.
And they're like, it sucks now.
Yeah, it sucks now because you're doing it.
Why did they have a problem with it?
Because, you know, the incentive structure of American politics is to make sure that the other side fails so that you can get more voters. It's not built good. Anyway, but this isn't about that. This could be Mitt Romney just passing through listening is why we
kept... Oh, that's true. What's one final thing that we like about Boston the most? Sam Adams beer?
What's the final thing I like about Boston? Mark Wahlberg's various companies.
Oh, so what is there besides the burger company?
He owns one. Hold on.
Wahlburger.
I think he owns like 20 companies.
Do you know Mark that? Wahlburger. Oh, I shouldn't say that on mic. Never mind.
Okay, don't say it on mic. What are Wall Street is a show that they focus on them now. It's called WHL Street is a show that's on HBO Max right now. I don't know. He runs. He has several businesses that aren't just the Wahlburgers. That's all I can say.
That's wild.
Oh. Wahlberg has 8 businesses taking up most of his attention. Those are Closet to the Hole, a film and TV production company; Aquahydrate, a water company; Performance Inspired, a nutrition company; F45, a chain of gyms; Municipal, a clothing company; Mark Wahlberg Auto Group, a series of now 4 car dealerships in Columbus, Ohio;
Weird.
Unrealistic Ideas, a production company for unscripted shows; and Wahlburgers.
That's so wild. He also, what was I going to say? I'm so tired. Everything slips my mind.
It's okay.
He also was a big jerk about a movie recently and held out until they paid him like $1 million to do reshoots, and his co-star only got like $1,500.
I know, that does seem recently. That's like 3 years ago now. All the Money in the World, when they had to edit out Kevin Spacey.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they edited out Kevin Spacey because, you know, he did all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And they replaced him with Christopher Plummer, and the female lead was like, hey, you don't need to pay me. It's fine. And so, but they had to like give her like union minimum.
So generally reshoots are something that's already in the contract. Like, mm-hmm. And I don't know. But he held out, which is.
He held out. He was because she was like, of course, this is an unprecedented situation. I didn't know Kevin Spacey was doing all of that. Obviously, I'll help get this movie over the finish line. I am a good sport. And Mark Wahlberg's like, nah.
I'm a pain in the ass. He has like a very stringent routine where he like goes to bed at 7:30 in the evening and wakes mm-hmm. up at like 3 or 3:30 or 4 to work out. And he works out and plays golf and eats all these weird meals. He's like a very weird guy.
Yeah. But
he's from Boston. Wow.
He is from Boston. Just a fun fact. If you go to his Wikipedia, there's a symbol on his hat. I don't know what it means, but it looks like a ball sack. So everyone check out Mark Wahlberg.
You don't
Wikipedia
think it's just a W for Wahlberg?
Oh, it's definitely a W, but it's written in now that I'm looking at it, but it looks like a ball sack. Check it out when you get a chance. But hey, to our listeners at Harvard, stop listening. You got a test tomorrow, bud.
You got to get your sleep, and that's important. Nothing
you
say
is important.
I heard Harvard
classes are hard. Yeah, but also, you know, thanks for listening, and, you know, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. But that's been the Panda Dome. Okay, Breaking Bad. It's a good episode. We're in season 1. Crazy Handful, Nothing's the name of the episode. It's an episode I like a lot. Meg, do you have any high-level things to say about it before we dive in?
I think the ending doesn't pan out to me.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. I disagree. We were arguing quite a bit in the chat. Feelings were hurt.
I cried. So, yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it opens up with a weird little flash forward, but also present day thing where you see Walt with hair.
Yes.
And he's in the RV with Jesse, and the RV's all fucked up.
But isn't it like, doesn't it? Oh, no, you're, wait, what? Oh, yeah, it's both. I forgot. So, yeah, mm-hmm. he's like, first I thought it was snowing because of how they fucked with the dust. And then mm-hmm. he was just like, this place looks icky. And I don't want to ever deal with any of the bad boys. I cook and you do the selling. I'm never going to know about it. And then guess what? There's a big explosion. And mm-hmm. present day, Walt's got no hair. And he's mm-hmm. Looking like a grumpy Gus. And everybody's driving away on motorcycles. Yeah.
And I think what they're trying to get at here is he's like, hey, I don't deal with any of the street stuff. But they're kind of showing you he's going to deal with some street stuff.
I think you're right. I think that's what they're getting at there.
I think that's the narrative choice they're making.
I think you're right. I think it's pretty heavy-handed, and I think you're absolutely right.
I would call it handed, but I don't know if I'd call it heavy-handed. I think it's cool. I don't think it's nearly as bad as the camera staying on Hank when his manager is telling him, and the criminal was right under my nose the whole time.
That was
How could
very
such
heavy.
A thing have happened? That was the most heavy-handed thing to ever be put to film.
And that's the end of the cold open, is that?
That's the end of the cold open. They play the Breaking Bad theme song. We all know it. We're not going to talk about it.
Not even a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's Walt pops up from under a tunnel and he goes, "Who is that?" "It's our friend. He's a teacher now. He's doing drugs. He's got cancer. Oh no. It's Breaking Bad." And then Jesse goes, "What about me?" And the executive produced by Vince Gilligan hits him in the head and he falls down.
Aw, nuts.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah.
And that's it. That was a quick one.
Yep, it was a
anyway.
Quick, there wasn't a lot of instrumental discussion on that one, but that's because it's a four-part harmony.
Yeah. They got Elton John to do one of the just one part of the harmony. You would never know it's him, but they wanted to spend the money.
And then the other two were middle school show choirs.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then we see a bag of piss.
I thought it was Tinkle. It was actually chemotherapy, I guess.
Chemo medicine, chemo juice. Yeah, I don't know I don't know what chemo actually is. I just know what it does to you.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's bags of unfiltered gusher medication, like stuff. I don't
gusher
know.
Medication.
Yeah, you know, it's gusher juice, and it's they got
it's gusher juice, and they put it in
your
you
veins. I bet it might help. I mean, it's gonna go after the cancer cells first, at least when it's
that is what gushers do.
Yeah.
And then Skylar's in there, and he's like, "You don't need to be here."
Yeah, cause... he's being kind of an asshole to her. He's like, "You gotta just leave, just go home and wait for our son."
I didn't think he was being an asshole until he kept yelling, "Cut the cord," which doesn't make sense because it's not her child; it's her husband. You wouldn't have an umbilical cord.
So true.
But it's the bit he went with, and yeah, and she's like, "Hey, did you get a check from Elliot?" And he's like, "Yeah, I did. I got it."
Yeah, it's in a checking account, and everything's just fine, and I forgot to tell you, which is, like, how did you forget to tell her? That doesn't make any sense. Like, know your lie a little better, dude.
Yeah. And then he asked the secretary, who we've seen before, he's like, "Can you not cash this until Monday?" "Because I'm fucked if you do."
I feel like she could have easily been like, "Let me just check our joint checking account for the check from Elliot." No, it's not there. Oh, because he says he puts it in his credit union account as though he's...
Yeah, but also in 2008, do you know what a pain in the ass it was to check your checking account?
Really?
Couldn't just do it from your phone. You need to go to the bank or the ATM.
God damn it.
Yeah.
How did anybody bank at any point?
I don't know.
I
don't know. I don't know. I do not know.
For every bad movie that I rewatched twice called Woman in the Windows, there was a movie I watched called The Mitchells versus the Machines, which was really good. You should watch.
What? Where's this coming from?
I was just thinking of that because it deals with a part where, I'm sorry, I really haven't slept well, but it deals with a part where, like, all the Wi-Fi in the world goes out and nobody can do anything anymore. I was just thinking about, like, yeah, how did I actually do anything? How did I check my banking information in 2008? I feel like I barely did, which is why I probably overdrew.
I didn't either.
So
I just,
much.
I would give my debit card to the cashier and cross my fingers and hope to God there was enough money in there.
That's wild.
Yeah. But then it goes to a classroom scene, and I didn't know this at the time, but Meg, do you know what he's talking about?
Chemical reactions?
Specifically, fulminated mercury, which comes up later.
Oh, because of explosions. I did make the explosion connection, but cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he's like, he looks all pukey.
Yeah, he looks clammy is what I would say.
And there's science fair projects on the side, and one of, what did it say?
Bad
we were
teeth.
Both laughing at it.
Nasty teeth.
Nasty teeth is what the trifold board said. Did you ever have to make a science project with, like, a trifold board?
No, I just had to get a trifold board for my daughter, though, for her science fair, so.
We had to do it a bunch. I hate it. I don't know if it still happens anymore.
Yes, it does, because my daughter.
Does. Oh, because you just did it. Your daughter is still in school. Yeah, that makes sense.
I got it on Monday. It was fine. It was more expensive than I thought. It was like $12, and I was like, what the fuck?
What?
Yeah, it was maybe even more. Maybe it was like 13 or 14. I'm not sure. But
can you give us a preview of what this science project's going to be about?
It's for the innovation and invention fair at our school, and she made a collapsible I don't know how this came to be, but she made a collapsible or telescoping golf club with a laser pointer at the end to help you aim.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's cooler than anything I've ever made.
And she like just definitely was like, I'm fucking doing this. And then she, you know.
Oh, yeah. Your daughter's like a genius, right?
She's very smart. Yeah.
Yeah. You've told me this. And
Yeah. It's kind of intimidating. Like how smart she is. And she's only going to be 11. It's wild.
Do you ever come home and she's sitting at the table with a set up chessboard and she just goes, sit, mother?
Yeah, all the time. And I'm like, I just got to out. I got to get on my wet swimsuit. And she goes, no. Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
But she's also very strong, too. She's a lot. It's a lot.
Would you beat her in arm? Would you beat her at arm wrestling?
I would beat her, but like not that much longer, because she's also nearly my size and she's nothing but muscle. It's very intimidating to be around this super buff, nearly 11-year-old genius girl.
So no offense, she does sound like a supervillain.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad when she has a moment that leaves her with a giant scar across her left eye or something.
We'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, what's a chemical reaction? And the student says, like an explosion. I do want to talk about this student. Her name's Sherry DeYoung, and she plays a DeYoung student. And she's around. She's around. She's in Good Trouble. Do you remember that?
Maybe.
It's a show that was on. She was in SWAT. As a bunch of stuff.
Oh,
she's
I
in
have
Adam
a
Rooms,
friend
everything.
Who was in charge of that show. Was the EP of that show.
Oh, fun. She was on Adam Ruins Everything. So she's just in LA. She was, you bet your ass she was in NCIS. And you bet your ass she was in Medium. But do you know what her first role was?
She is in Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium?
No, it was Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was her first role.
Oh. Yeah, I feel silly.
And she has 10 director credits. That's cool.
That's neat.
She's done a lot more with her life than me. I don't like that, but I guess we'll. And she's only a year older than me? Fuck you,
Sherry. That means she's younger than me and I. Yeah. But I have two kids. Does she have two kids?
Yeah, you have two kids. No, she doesn't have two kids.
How do you know?
I don't know. It says she has five kids.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, her name is Sari, not Sherry. S-E-R-I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, enough about her.
Yes.
Walt goes and barfs a bunch.
Yeah, and then Hugo comes out, or Hugo... doesn't come out anywhere. Hugo is just there and is really nice to Walt and is like, I'll clean up your puke, adult man. You go teach those kids.
Do you remember them talking about the janitor last week and we were like discussing like, what if Jesse's the janitor?
Yeah, I feel really silly. I'm sorry for thinking that.
They confirmed it. I told you it might have been. It might have been Jesse. It just got confirmed that it wasn't, though.
Well, I get, like, you could see how I might think it,
yeah,
right?
No, I can see that. No, yeah, that's the point of this show.
At a certain point, these wrong guesses are just going to be over, you know?
Yeah, we're getting there. Now you've seen most of the show.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, our podcast has much less novelty now than it used to.
Very true. But, you know, I still get little glimmers of just being like a clumsy baby. Where I think
it's
Jesse
true.
Was
that
the janitor. I feel silly for thinking that.
That was fun. That was a fun fan theory. Hugo's like, I'll clean up your vomit. And then they go to a cancer support group led by a woman named Vivian Nesbitt. And here's the thing about Vivian. She's around. And it looks like she, she started a little later. This is only her third credit. And she's an older... Do you remember this lady in the episode?
The lady who is like, hey, why don't you tell your wife where you're going when you disappear?
Yeah, that lady.
Yeah.
If I name her shows, you will not have heard of any of them. But she was in something called The Night Shift and something called Crossed Lines.
Okay.
But anyway, she's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and she has 6 director credits.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, a lot of director credits here. Jesus. Oh, and it looks like in 2016 she went on a little short film spree.
Good for her.
Good for her. Okay. Yeah, they the support group, it's basically just Walt saying, I like going on walks, you know, fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, he could have anticipated this. He seems like he should have been like, my wife is going to want to know where I go when I cook meth. I'll just say that I'm in a pottery club. No, meditation group. Why didn't he just say meditation group?
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah, there are better lies that you could have come up with that he's just.
I'm working with a new age shaman and I'm blah, 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 blah.
And I'm blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And
it's
then...
either go big or go home. Like, get a good lie. Or say, fuck you, I'm not telling you, I get my secrets. And do it in front of everybody all the time. And make a scene.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I 100% agree. Yeah, then they cook meth, and Walt's coughing too much, and he can't do it.
Because he's Jesse's feeling like, sick, and Jesse goes...
He's feeling sick.
Yeah, Jesse says, you got that dot. I know about that dot. My aunt had that dot. How bad your cancer?
My aunt had the dot.
My aunt had the dot.
Walt's like, how your aunt, she did pretty good though, right? And he goes, no, she died hella quick.
Yeah, mad quick.
Basically what says.
Yeah. But if I were Walt and he was like, no, my aunt died in 7 months, I'd be like, Walt is kind of like, okay, I've got some time to make some serious dough if I just mm-hmm. put my nose to the ground and, I don't know, do it. But anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, I don't know, Hank and Gomi meet in a parking lot. I don't know why. They share an office. I don't know why they meet in a parking lot.
Yeah, and also they seem they like don't partners like patrol. Almost, like later on.
Yeah. They don't like go on patrol. Like, it's not like they were like, oh, I'm on my beat. Can you meet me in this parking lot?
Yeah.
So, but all these like, hey, we found a from this gas mask looks like it came from Walt's school. End of scene.
Yes.
That's all. And then we get that montage where Jesse sells a bunch of meth.
And it's very like piecemeally. You see a lot of dangerous looking people, and then one businessman or something.
That's fun. That's fun that they do that.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's like in Grand Theft Auto. You randomly like see like a businessman. Like a bunch of scrungy drug guys, then you see a businessman when you play Grand Theft Auto. As a fun video game.
I really never got into anything past Vice City, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Vice City's a fun video game.
Yeah, no, it is a great, yeah.
Yeah, I loved Vice City. Yeah, that it's like the 80s, right?
Yeah, and you're in Miami?
Yeah. I mean, Vice City, but I think it's based on Miami, right?
Yeah, just the same as like whatever they do with New York.
San Andreas is Los Angeles, basically, and New York is Liberty City, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think
I had Liberty City, and maybe that was the last one I owned, but I just was like, it's too hard, and I stopped playing.
The last one they came out with is Grand Theft Auto 5, and that came out in 2013, but they're still doing online stuff with it, so like they probably won't come out with a new one in forever.
Okay.
Yeah. People love it. It's very popular still.
That's cool.
Yeah, cool.
They also do Red Dead. That's the same.
They did do Red Dead Redemption. Yes. I need a. I want to get a Xbox. That'll be. I'm gonna add Red Dead to my list. I've been making like a list of expensive games I want to get once I get an Xbox.
L.A. Noir is pretty fun. I think that's the same people too.
That is the same people. That's older now. I can get that on my Switch, and it'll look just like it did back in the day, because the Switch is basically an Xbox 360.
Yeah, this is like the remastered version was pretty fun that we played a lot. My kids still, when they want to show off for my dad, because they know, you know, my dad's a retired cop, they like make my dad sit in the chair and then play L.A. Noir for him. And he's like, oh, okay. And they're like, see, cop game. And then it'll say something insane about narcotics or, you know, Black Dahlia murders or fucking arson, and they'll be like, cop stuff, see?
That reminds me, the first time Grand Theft Auto 3 was like the most, it was like the big one, and two were like top down, they weren't that good, but three was like the first one that looks like you would imagine a Grand Theft Auto game or like an LA Noir game looking today.
Yeah, because the other ones were like bird eye view, right?
Yeah, they were top down, and they just weren't, they weren't that good.
Yeah.
But 3 was the first, like, and it was crazy popular. My brother, Nick, had rented it, and I was just watching him in his room playing it with my mouth to the floor. It was the coolest thing ever. But my stepdad walks in right when a cutscene starts with the mechanic character talking to his girlfriend, and the scene starts with her going, I'm tired. When are you going to drill me? And he made us turn it off, and we had to return it.
Oh my gosh, that's
because of Yeah, because of the Puritan values of my household.
I mean, that's just what I say to any boyfriend I have at all points in time. I go, I'm tired. When are you going to drill me?
When are you going to drill me? What a fun verb for sex. There's a lot of them out there,
like,
but that's
plow.
A good one. Plow, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was in my book club recently, and they got mad at me for, I referred to a girl I was hooking up with, and I was like, well, we used to slam parts. And they were like, oh my God, I hate when you talk like that. And I was like, oh, maybe don't be around me, because... Oh, and then they got mad. They're like, it's like when you say poopy all the time. I was like, I do say poopy a lot.
I don't understand why that's the same thing at all.
They were like, it's just gross. And I'm like, all right, well, we're done. We're out of this book club.
Yeah, I quit.
I quit. I don't know.
My book club resignation. boy.
Yeah, that was fun. But you don't mind when I say poopy, do you?
No, it's the phrase. I don't know.
It's a fun phrase. Yeah,
yeah,
no.
It's not an upsetting. It's not like I'm like, okay. Oh, I can't stop thinking about like an avalanche of poop because he said poopy. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah, no. Well, oh boy, an avalanche of poop would be really funny.
I know. It'd be great.
It'd be the funniest. Yeah, it'd be the funniest thing I've ever seen. And it like took out.
Do I have any words that I use that you don't like?
No. We both say jizz and cum a lot.
Oh my God, do we ever?
Yeah, and I like those words.
Yeah, they're great.
A lot.
They're fantastic
so,
words.
Oh, and vagina.
Oh,
but that's just,
yeah, we get it.
Yeah. But that's just a body part.
You just say it. That's what.
You just say it.
Just say it.
Yeah, he sells meth, and then Walt's mad that he didn't sell enough.
Yeah, because he's like, I sold 26 big ones, and he went. What? That's 26 G's? He goes, no, $2,600. So, and here is a burner phone. So now we know where the phone came from, I guess.
Yeah. Do you know what would be fucking sweet, though? Getting $2,600. I would love that.
It was only $1,250 after they deduct, $1,275 after he deducts the price of the burner phone.
Do you know what would be sick? Getting $1,275.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
That's 2008 money. Yeah. You can make that last a while.
I'd be swimming in a sea of Xboxes with that kind of money.
You could get three, maybe?
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, probably about three. With that. And then I didn't think about it depends what state I buy them in.
Yeah. 2.5 Xboxes?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then Jesse brings up, hey, there's this guy I know. It's probably a crazy idea. His name's Tuco.
And he's a distributor. You killed my other one. I can't really go and talk to him, so I don't know why I brought this up. And Walt's like, you should figure out a way. And that's kind of it. I don't know.
I've noticed they say fuck a lot already more in the first season. And I'm pretty sure that's because they filmed this thinking it might be on HBO. I know in the pilot for sure, because there's boobs in the pilot. Spoilers. Yeah, heads up.
What did they do when it was on AMC? Did they put like...
Oh, so they're on Netflix. I mean, we'll get to it. But on Netflix, there's like an extended version that's like an actual full hour. Oh. And I think that's the version that they were going to do on AMC. And then there's like a 47-minute version that was the version that went on AMC.
Gotcha.
And those... I think I actually watched it once and they just blurred the boobs out.
Ah.
Yeah.
Whose boobs? Jesse's girlfriends?
Some girl, yeah.
It's not Skylar's tits.
It's not Skylar's, no, unfortunately. Or Marie's, unfortunately.
But what about Hank's?
Or it's not Hank's. We've seen Hank's tits.
I know.
We never saw Saul's tits, did we?
No, I don't think he ever has his shirt off for any reason.
I know we do in the prequel series. We'll see a lot of it. You see his butt crack in that show.
Ooh, go on.
Yeah, it's great. And we see Walt's tits a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If only he did. I feel like he has a good body if only he worked on his pecs. And that is the end of my conversation. This is me objectifying
his
body.
We're both in solid agreement on this fact.
Yeah. Anyhow, what happens next?
Yeah, what happens next is Walt undergoes further treatment, which leads to vomit. He goes and vomits a bunch, and the Mr. Archuleta gives him gum.
Yeah,
that's
this guy
fun.
Seems so nice.
Yeah, I know. You know something bad's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
He's Native American, right?
I don't know. I mean...
I think so.
I
No, I guess his name's Mr. Archuleta, so that would be a Latin American name? I don't know.
I don't know the etymology of his name. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hugo Archuleta.
I mean, maybe he's from Spain. Maybe his family's from Spain. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Maybe. We're all from Africa, baby.
So true.
So true. So true. The cradle of civilization. Okay. Then Hank comes. He says, you know.
Oh, he says, that lady's got an ass like an onion. It makes me want to cry, which is not the best compliment, because it's like, when was the last time you cried because something brought you such happiness? Usually it makes it sound like that she's got a nasty butt or something.
No, I think I think it's a good compliment. I think he's saying, I want to cry because I wish I had an ass like that.
Oh, so he could grab his own ass all the time?
No, just because he's like, I work so hard on my ass.
And it's just a dead ass. I can't do anything.
It's just a dead ass because I'm a little older than her, and it's so frustrating. So I wish I had an ass like her. And it's Carmen we're talking about, by the way. And her eyebrows do make a comeback.
They are aggressive eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's not even objectifying talking about them because they're so clearly drawn on.
I don't understand. This was like very dramatic eyebrows, really thin dramatic eyebrows really were a thing in this time period. Mm-hmm. They're overwhelming. Like they
look like the St. Louis Arch.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they're so long. And they're so intense. I wonder if that was just like, we have nothing we can do besides this with her eyebrows, or if it was like, yeah, give her some of those shitty eyebrows. Like, deliberate makeup choice.
She's in season 3 and her eyebrows look fine.
Is that right?
Maybe any rewind. Well, I thought we never talked about them. Meg's enjoying a juicy swig of water.
I had a little tickle in my throat. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. You feel better?
I do.
Okay, cool. My sinus headache is gone to the back of my head now. Hopefully it's just a sinus headache and not like a bug or of some kind.
Did you hear anything marching while you...
Like a beetle or something.
Yeah, any marching men in your head?
I don't know. One of my biggest fears ever since I saw Brendan Fraser's The Mummy is those... Have you seen Brendan Fraser's The Mummy?
Not in a long time.
Oh, I bet I've seen that movie 40 times. And one of my biggest fears is the beetles that like crawl in your skin and then you watch them like crawl up and then they go into your brain.
Yeah, I would say that's a disturbing idea.
Now,
yeah.
Watching it now, the CGI of these beetles leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
But the idea of them still scares me.
So, I don't want that to happen to me. I'm not a bugs person. I really don't like bugs.
No, me neither. We had to have the cockroach guy come here the other day.
Oh no. That's dramatic. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. They like water, so they've been in the dishwasher a lot, which has been frustrating.
Shit.
Yeah, no. And then because they had construction next door, that apparently can like rustle up some that have been over there and they go over here. So we found a big street roach in our apartment that was like a big one.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was in our sink. I freaked out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That's upsetting. Okay. They were ants in my bathroom last summer, but that's it. That's the extent of it.
Well, ants would scare me more because that means it's something like it's like food on the ground.
Well, it was just in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
They never got into the kitchen. They were just in the bathroom. And when I notified the building, I just sent them an email that said, ants in the bathroom.
When I saw that cockroach, I mean, all I did, my roommate killed it, but I stood on a chair and lifted up my skirt and went, oh my, oh gosh.
That's so funny. Theoretically, something like a mouse I'm not afraid of, right? Mm. But whenever they're like growing up, we lived next to like a big field with like a garden and the railroad tracks and stuff. And I think that like environment led to a lot of field mice getting in our house. And whenever there would be like a mouse in the house, like running around, I'd be like, ah, and I'd jump on top of something, even though I can like sit and think about mice and not be made uncomfortable. For some reason, seeing them actually like dart around freaks me out.
They're too fast. So yeah. That's scary. But yeah, no, they kind of scare me too.
Yeah. The type of dog I have is, related to the rat terrier. And so rat terriers were like bred for hunting rats. So they have like a strong urge to dig. And so does this dog. And so she like is always digging at stuff. And
the senator?
The senator is always like digging. And I'm like, you're not going to find any rats here. And I wonder if she's just like, no, they're here. You just wait and see. There's rats in here. And then if she like hits a spout and they all geyser out of the ground like a fucking oil geyser or something, and it's just rats on rats. I'm sorry, I'm really tired.
No, I love it. No, this is peak Meg. This is good stuff. This is audio gold.
But anyhow,
an ass like an onion. It makes me want to cry. That's where we are. And someone, we don't know who yet, is stealing. We don't know who is stealing supplies from Walt's chemistry lab.
Yeah,
who do you think it is?
They stole a gas mask, and they stole some Erlenmeyer flasks, and they stole a 500 milliliter
I forget, it's a five something.
Yeah, and he's like, this is, ooh baby, oh, it really looks like you've been cleared out. And at this point, it seems like they've done a disservice to Hank's genius detective brain, genius DEA agent brain, that's able to solve much more complicated things and get to the bottom of stuff much quicker. He just is like completely blind to Walt here, and that makes me frustrated.
I feel like at this point in the show, I think the show timeline is only a few weeks old.
Okay.
And so it's just like, well, no way Wiener Walt would ever fucking do that. So someone's got in there.
Yeah.
Walt the Wiener, which is what we call him, wouldn't do this. But he gets a call in there, and it's Jesse, and he's outside of Tuco's crib with Skinny Pete, who I thought this was Skinny Pete's first appearance, and apparently it's not.
Okay. I thought that too. I said, is this a series premiere? Series premiere on Skinny Pete? And you said, no, Meg, it's not. And I said,
I had to look it up. I wasn't sure. I know we get some Badger later on.
Oh, we do. But
yeah. We get, like, Badger has a pretty meaty role in an episode coming up. But then I don't remember Skinny Pete. And also, apparently, Combo still has yet to have his debut.
That's true. I hope he's in the second or third episode. There's really not that many more that these people could be in.
Skinny Pete has a very fun line. Also, I don't know who punched up this script, but they did a great job. Jesse says to him, you and this Tuco guy are tight, right? And Skinny Pete, without flinching, goes, two balls in a nutsack, yo. Or two nuts in a ball sack, yo. One of them. But it's very fun.
Yeah.
Tighter than two nuts in a ball sack.
Yeah, and then he goes up to the guy playing, like, bouncer for Tuco and goes, yo, bitch, I'm Skinny Pete. And it was like, that's a weird choice for that line.
Yeah.
and then the guy, without saying anything, goes like, thumbs up, look at the camera.
Meg's face there was fun, you guys.
That's my hard man face.
Meg made a really tough face.
Yeah. And then they buzz him in, and they pat him down. Everybody gets pat down. And then Tuco's guys are like, all right, go see him. And Tuco says, what the fuck? Use your mouth and talk. He doesn't really greet Skinny Pete all too gregariously. He just is like, what? What do you want? I've been out of jail a year now, and I hang out in this cage up here with these goons.
So I don't think Skinny Pete and Tuco in jail would be a good spinoff show. I do think it'd be a good Black Box production.
You want to see this as a two-man show, like in a Black Box theater on fucking Broadway or something. Not Broadway.
No,
I meant Broadway in Chicago.
Broadway in Chicago.
Where was that? The Playground Theater or whatever?
Yeah, Yeah, I would love to see that. I think that'd be good. I think they'd both make some pretty loud choices.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be good. Everyone would watch it. Okay. But we'll never get it.
I don't know what those guys are doing. Maybe they would be down. Just pitch it to them. See what happens.
Okay.
What'll they say?
I'll send them an email. Yeah, they might say no. And you got to be okay with being told no once in a while.
Just every once in a while, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you get five no's in a row, quit.
Yeah, always.
Quit
no matter what. And even if it's one person yelling no at you five times in the same minute, just
no. All right, I quit.
I give
back
up
home.
And I'm going to go live in Oklahoma. And
speaking of which, we don't have any listeners in Oklahoma, so
never speak of them again.
Yeah, if you have a friend in Oklahoma who has a phone, tell them to listen to this podcast. I would love to talk about them.
Nebraska?
I don't think we have any Nebraskans listening. We might. I don't have it pulled up. I don't care. Now I do have it pulled up. Nope, no Nebraska. Oh. Nope, no Nebraska. Nope.
Jesse tries to give Tuco the meth to sell. Tuco is like, I like it. It's good meth. Oh, my God. I sell my meth on consignment. I'm not going to give you the money up front. And I don't know why Jesse wasn't like, okay, I will exit this premises and meet you with your good words, sir.
But I would have just tried to get out of there.
Yeah. And let Walt deal with it later. Instead, he tries to take the meth back and make a run for the door, which if anything, he's not athletic. And he gets intercepted, and then Tuco's like, okay, I'll give you your money. Psych, I'm going to kick the shit out of you.
Did you mean to throw in a sick football term just now?
No.
Okay, well, because, I was like, you sound like you could play for the Bears, talking like that.
When I said intercepted?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. There you go again. That's a term I know.
It is a football
when it,
term.
When it happens in NFL Blitz, it's really exciting.
Oh, is that a video game?
Yeah, it's a football game on N64, and then the whole camera turns around because you go from defense to offense, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's pretty, you're like, whoa, 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 don't fuck this up. It's pretty fun. I assume it's like that in real life when you catch an interception.
Yeah. As a person who's never really competed in any type of sport, I always wonder what that's like, because I just feel like I'd get the yips and fuck up everything all the time.
Did you ever do any ball-based sport? I can't even imagine you doing such a thing.
When I was really young, they tried to get me on team sports, but I kept getting in fist fights with all the boys, so I stopped doing that.
Classic Meg stuff.
Yeah, I get in a lot of fist fights as a kid. I was just really pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you were on swim team.
For one semester, yeah.
What was that like?
One time. I mean, I did a lot of sports, but I wasn't good at any of them. Swim team was not great. I think I told you I jumped in during the wrong race one time. Yeah. That wasn't fun. I still lost, even though I was doing a 50 freestyle and they were doing a 200 medley. Which means they have to do all of the things, and I just had to do one. I guess I didn't lose because I only did the 50, which is down and back, but they were all doing butterfly, and they did one down and back before I could do a down and back freestyle, is what happened.
Wait, even on butterfly?
They were doing butterfly, and I was doing freestyle. Yeah.
Well, butterfly, if you're good at it, you'd go pretty fucking fast.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for the benefit of the doubt. I was pretty fucking slow.
If you were telling me they were doing breaststroke and you're doing freestyle, I would be like, oh, but
I mean, I'm pretty sure they still would have won.
I love to swim, but I'm not, I don't think there's any part of me that would handle like competing well. And I feel like I wouldn't be able to swim in a straight line. I just swim in a diagonal and bump into somebody and fuck up the whole race.
Well, the lanes help.
Yeah, you're right. They do.
Mm-hmm. They're wonderful guideposts, those lanes.
Yeah, but for me, I feel like I'd be just like, bah! And just get tangled up or something. I don't know.
If you fuck up a dive and the little water gets in those goggles, I don't know. It's just so boring. You have to look at a pool floor the whole time.
Yeah, I got waterproof headphones for that reason when I'm swimming laps because, it is so fucking boring.
Yeah.
It's like homework. When you surf and then you have to go do laps, it's literally like doing homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a stupid sport, and Michael Phelps should give all that money back.
What? No, I don't know if I would go that far. Anyways, he beats up Jesse, and Jesse goes to the hospital. And
he beats up Jesse with a bag of money, lest we forget, which I think is a fun detail. Sorry.
I think the level of injury that Jesse sustains here is not right.
I disagree. He kicks him a bunch, too.
I'm not saying that, how do I want to put this? I probably can't describe this right, but it feels unearned that there's a part of this episode that is Jesse in like a coma almost, or in a highly sedated state in the hospital. And it's just kind of like icing on a cake to get Walt to go and attack somebody. Whereas before, whereas when we've seen Jesse in the hospital before, it's an entire episode. His recovery is a long time. And there's, you know, some real, him being in the hospital is like the meat and potatoes, and you understand the motives more because he communicates what happens to him better than just like a simple scene where Skinny Pete is like, yeah, he beat the shit out of him. And Walt's like, well, tell me everything. I'm going to go blow him up with a chunk of chemicals.
I would just say not every injury is the same, and there are different stakes. And he looks pretty fucked up. And
he looks fucked up. I'm not saying he doesn't look fucked up. I'm just saying if he's that level of fucked up, I feel like it should have been a more central part of the episode.
All right. Well, I appreciated how much we got. And I thought it was just the right amount. Because hospitals are icky. I don't want to spend all the time in there.
Okay. But you don't seem to mind all the hospital time we were in season 4 or 3 or whatever.
What are you talking about, when he gets beat up by Hank?
Yeah, and then Hank's in the hospital for all that time.
Yeah, that was different. I don't know. I think it's fine. Right. That's my only take. I was like, it worked for me. But, okay. All right. And then so we get one of our many Walt jerks off in the shower scenes, but this time hair falls out.
Oh, yeah. He comes so hard, he loses hair. Yes. They have a card game too at some point.
Oh, right. There's a card game, and it's Hank's like, you wouldn't know a criminal if one. Oh no, that's later because is it?
No, isn't it? He calls. He's like, where did you get
to? Oh, right. We forgot Mr. Archuleta getting arrested.
Oh no.
Because that happens before the card game. Because they talk
about
that's
important. Because that guy was nice, and yeah, they arrest him, and Carmen's like, I don't understand. This can't be happening, and it's a big to do at the school, which feels like they wouldn't have done it. Like the DEA would have tried to make it a little bit lower.
Well, you could tell in all those scenes where Hugo's helping Walt out in the bathroom, he wanted to be like, bro, if you blaze up, you'll feel fine, bro. Because he loves weed.
Just get fucking high. Yeah.
This is the most dated the show's felt. The fact that someone
go to jail for weed.
Having a blunt in their truck.
Yeah.
But also, you know, he is around kids, so I'm glad they arrested him.
But it's not a nonviolent crime.
I mean, I think all drug use is violence when you get right down to it.
Seems like no, it's not.
It's not. It's a nonviolent. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's stupid to arrest someone for weed.
It's fucking stupid.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Anyways, he gets arrested, and Carmen goes, I don't know what's going on. I never know anything. And Hank goes, do better background checks. And that seems shitty, because now this guy who smoked weed can't even be a janitor? That seems unfair. Seems like
I feel like the writers are on his side.
Yeah. The writers are on Hank's side?
No. The janitor's side. He's supposed to seem tragic, right?
Yeah. I truly hope so.
Yeah. They're not supposed to be like, look what this dirtbag did. It's supposed to be like, Walt, it's kind of Walt's fault this guy got caught.
Yeah. And then, okay, so now we're playing cards.
We're playing poker. It's game night, baby.
Yeah. And Marie doesn't know how to gamble very well, and everybody's, you know, doing the river and the turn and the
do you know how to play Texas Hold'em?
I know it. I forget the order that the flop after the flop comes out. What is it? Is it the river?
I don't know. It's the flop,
the river, and the turn card or something like that.
Flop, the bang.
No, there's no bang.
No, there's no bang. The boom.
There's no boom.
Okay. You shuffle.
You know what I don't know? I watched a lot of WSOP in my life because I had an
ex-husband. As we all did in those handful of years where it was everywhere.
Yeah, but like that was a big part of my life for a while and not happy about it. I never understood when you would place your bets and raise and everything and call. I didn't understand that.
What I don't like about watching poker is it's just usually watching a bunch of men, mostly men,
yeah,
try to look tough.
Yeah, or be endlessly chipper and entertaining as well.
And doing one of the least tough things ever.
Yeah, playing
which is
cards.
Playing a little game.
I feel like the people who do compete in, like, you know, WSOP events, when they're like, I'm going to be a pro poker player, are generally people who are not athletic.
probably.
And it don't have jobs as lumberjacks or fucking firefighters. Mm-hmm. You know, there are like a lot of people who are like, no, computer programming, that's a very manly job. Like, no, it's not. It's a regular
I'm
job.
I'm trying to be a computer programmer. So
are you saying that it's fucking super masculine? The same as
being... I did it to get chicks, yo.
It's the same as being like a lumberjack or a firefighter.
That's what I thought.
No.
Okay. Well, I don't like that they're allowed to play with sunglasses on. Are they allowed to play with sunglasses on?
Yeah,
in, like,
you can
series?
Have sunglasses and a hat on, I think.
You should have to be naked.
You should have to be naked.
So that any tells, like, you have to work hard to hide that. Yeah. Like, oh, he's erect. That must mean he has a queen.
It's so true.
Hank tells them, he's like, because Walt Jr. is like, why'd you arrest Mr. Archuleta?
Yes.
And Hank's like, he's a big old pothead. And he deserves to lose his job. And Skylar agrees with him.
Yeah, Skylar goes, mm-hmm, the whole time.
A lot of care and energy coming from Skylar.
Yeah. And then Walt's like, what's going to happen to him? And he's like, he's going to jail. We went through his house. There's no mess stuff, but I'm so glad we got this nonviolent weed-smoking criminal off the streets. Because... he shouldn't clean up puke anymore. And I guess maybe Walt feels guilty. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then Walt, like, Hank's whole deal this time is like, Walt, you're a bad liar. You know, you wouldn't know a criminal if you saw one, blah, 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 blah. But then Walt beats him in cards on a bluff. And Hank literally makes a, ooh, what?
Shit. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that, like, Walt was trying to win. It feels like he was really distracted asking questions. And, like, Hank just read too much into him. Feeling bad.
I think he was trying to win. I think he went all in with a sense of purpose with a 7 and a 3. I mean, this scene is where the name of the episode comes from. Because it's called Crazy Handful of Nothing.
Oh, yeah. I thought like, a little bit. You're right. I guess I didn't realize that. I thought it was something to do with his handful of like explodey chemicals.
I mean, yeah, probably that too.
Yeah.
It can have many meanings.
So then... he goes to see Jesse at the hospital because what happens?
He jerks off and his hair falls out.
Oh, that's right. And then he tries to get a hold of Jesse, and I guess Skinny Pete answers, and he shows up at the hospital, and it's like, Tuco beat him up.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're the guy. And he goes, I'm the guy. Which is a good line read. And then he shaves his head. Oh, wait, yeah, sorry. He shaves his head after the hospital, lest we forget. And then he carries a bag of what looks like crystal meth.
And that he goes and he's like, everybody's like, hey, Baldy, you want to get directions? And they go, no, I want to talk to Tuco. Are you Tuco? And the guy just stares at him. He's like, well, I want to talk to Tuco. Mm-hmm. And then...
which, ballsy move, because like, they could have been like, all right, stab. Like they didn't, to the fact that he even could get to Tuco.
Yeah, but for some reason, mm-hmm. Tuco's like, I would like to talk to this man. Mm-hmm. And,
this is where me and Meg disagree, so you guys are about to hear some fucking fireworks, okay?
Buckle up, friends, because it's a
buckle up, here it comes, getting spicy.
All right, so you set the scene for us.
All right, then Walt walks in there. He has a bag full of meth and... Tuco's looking at it on a knife. It's got a little hair on it. That's something me and Meg noticed. If you rewatch it, there's a little hair on the piece that Tuco holds on his knife. It's a little white hair, probably a pube. And Walt asked for, or Tuco calls him daddy.
Does he?
He says, like, that's your friend in here the other day, so you must be daddy. That's fun. Oh, and then also, I don't know, this is the series premiere of the name Heisenberg.
Is it?
Yeah, he comes up with it from this meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty cool. He's like, I want $50,000 because you beat up my friend and it made me mad.
And you also stole a pound of meth, and I don't like mm-hmm. that. So do that. And he goes, no. What does he say?
He puts a cigarette out on his tongue just to be like, I think that's a flex.
Is it?
Because you're like, look how tough I am.
Look at, he's all over the place today.
I couldn't put a cigarette on my tongue. I'd go, ow, 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 ow.
I wouldn't be smoking in the first place for sure.
You know cigarettes look cool. You know that better than anyone.
No, they do look really cool. That's true. All right. Yeah. All right. Fine. I'd be smoking.
Yeah. You'd be smoking a cigarette. I bet. And then he's like, so let me get this straight. I beat the piss out of your friend and steal your meth, which was good. And then you come here bringing more meth. And then Walt goes, you just got one problem there, friend. This is not meth. And he throws it down and all the windows break. Yeah. And it's really cool.
I'm not saying that this isn't cool. I'm not saying that this isn't like, I'm just saying, I don't know what Walt thought was going to happen when he did this. Like, he'd scare him so bad with science that Tuco would never retaliate, you know?
I think he just, at this point, he just wants the money from, he's not thinking about an ongoing relationship, right? He's like, I just want my money.
Okay.
And then Tuco brings up the idea of like, hey, whoa, okay, shit. Because he's holding up, like, the bag, and he's like, I'll drop the rest of it! I'll kill us all! And Tuco's like, that sold really well. I'm actually kind of glad you came back.
I'll give you the money, and I'll front you for another pound. He's like, you're gonna need to be able to give me money for two. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
I think he's saying, like, we'll meet at another time, and I'll bring you 2 pounds, and then you'll get me money. And that's the junkyard meeting we get next episode.
Yeah.
The first one. They did do a Breaking Bad themed Mythbusters, and this was thoroughly debunked.
That this could happen?
That it would explode, but like the fact that it just didn't hurt Walt at all. It was like right in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
It would like blow up everything in there.
Yeah, he had like a bloody nose.
Yeah.
So the reason why I thought this made no sense is because it wasn't that the science isn't sound. I couldn't speak to that. It wasn't that it didn't look cool. It's that, like, you already know this guy's gonna beat the shit out of someone with a bag of money and put your friend in the hospital. So going and meeting that guy with more aggression is not going to make it better. You'd have to kill him, or else he will eventually go nuts and try to kill you.
I think he successfully sort of kind of gets a gun to his head. Not a real gun, but a science gun. And is like, haha, I have the upper hand. And I think that's what these Tuco types respect, is be like, you've won my respect. And I think Walt is happy to do that.
I don't know that I agree with it, but I think that it's like, no fucking wonder things got so out of hand, Walt. Look at like your first interaction with this guy and you choose to stay in business with him. Like, this doesn't make sense. And like, almost to the point where the fact that he does go along with it, I think would make me, if I were Walt, be like, oh, fuck, what did I get myself into before I even have the junkyard meeting with Tuco? Because it's like, that he responded well to that. What is it going to happen next?
I think this is real. I think he was so fucking psyched because he wants to be, he's a little wannabe criminal,
yeah,
especially at this point. He's not a kingpin like he kind of becomes later. And he's like, I got the upper hand in this fucking, like, this actual criminal. Me, Walt, I did that. Chemistry teacher. And he's just so excited about it. And that's why he's like, you got to buy two. And it, like, it's just a rush. It's a thrill for him. Which is, I think, why he went into it.
Because
he comes up, like, we'll get into this. He goes into his car and he comes a bunch.
Yeah, he
like,
just scream comes.
We don't know if he actually comes, that part's a bit, but he does go like, like, that's how the episode really ends.
I get that he's jazzed. I just don't see how he didn't foresee things getting as insane as they did with Tuco, you know?
That's true.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, this makes no sense as a long-term solution to dealing with the Tuco type, because it seems like you've just engaged him in his own type of warfare.
I think he's kind of put his eggs in this meth basket, right?
Yeah.
He's getting chemo he can't afford. He already said no to Elliot and Gretchen, and he needs to be able to sell large quantities of it. And to him right now, this is the only guy who can do it, as crazy as he seems.
Yeah.
And so he's like, listen, I got my foot in the door aggressively, and I'm glad I'm here. It seems, and that's why I think he would still do it, even though it's going to be wild. Because he doesn't know if someone like Gus exists.
I get that, but I just, it's not a matter of, like, I understand why he feels like he has to be engaged with Tuco, like, it has some type of business arrangement. I understand why, like, he wants to be, you know, seen and respected. I think, like, with that big noodle, he could have been more diplomatic. And I don't know that it would have made Tuco more manageable, but it's like you go to somebody's office that's crazy like Tuco and you almost kill him. And then are you ever surprised when eventually things get to the point where he's like, oh, he's going to kill me and my family. He's stalking me and he's going to kill me. Like, I just feel like it got out of hand because, you know, he was like, I'll just try to beat him at his own game. Oh, no, mm-hmm. This is his game that he's been playing it a lot longer, you know?
True.
Well, I guess it's just two friends agreeing to disagree.
Yeah, we're at an impasse here. I think his real mistake was not meeting at the mall, because I think if Tuco never would have beaten his friend to death, they would never have gotten in that crazy situation.
True.
And he couldn't have done that at the mall without security at least being notified.
Man, what is it with it's become a trope whenever anybody mentions the mall in a TV show or goes to the mall, they always go like Orange Julius, and I feel like it's lazy. I think they should mention like literally any other chain, like the fucking big cookie place, whatever place that was.
This will be a fun little tease for something you and I will do in a year. Malls play a big part in Better Call Saul.
What if we do a podcast? Oh, here's a podcast, Piss. What if we do a podcast whenever you and I are around where you go to malls and review a mall food court food that still is out there?
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Living on separate sides of the country is hard for that. But yeah, no, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Girl, but they got Sbarro's on both sides of the coast, right?
That's true. I like the one that's like a Japanese place where you can get like wok fried dishes with like chicken teriyaki with noodles and stuff. That one's good. What's the one with the cookies? It's not Auntie Anne's. It's Mrs. Fields. That's the one with the cookies.
I've never heard of this one.
Oh.
And I love cookies.
Me too. I had half a cookie with my breakfast this morning. I've really given
good,
up.
Good.
Yeah. I've really given the fuck up.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
I had late night McDonald's last night.
Ooh.
So.
What'd you have?
Well, so I've been pretty hot on their cinnamon rolls lately, thinking like, no way McDonald's is this good at making cinnamon rolls. And this is the third time I've gotten one, and maybe their midnight crew just wasn't up to snuff, but this was by far the worst of the McDonald's cinnamon rolls I've ever acquired. But I also got a McDouble and a McChicken.
A McDouble and a McChicken?
They're both under the dollar. You get two
things. Oh, wait, I get the McDouble. It's really not that big. Okay.
Yeah, it's very teeny tiny. It's basically like a crouton. It's not
a meat
not
crouton.
That big. Yeah, it's a meat crouton. Yeah, Walt comes a bunch in his car.
He walks away and all the motorcycle guys are like, God damn, this guy's badass. And they go out of there. And then Walt sits in his car and he goes, yes. And guys are so hard, it goes through the roof of his car. Yeah.
That's how much he comes. All right, Meg, what do you give this episode?
What do I give this episode?
What does Meg give this episode?
I guess an A minus.
Okay.
I think it's
A plus for me.
You know, it's like it's better than a B. I don't know if it's quite B plus level. I did really like Hugo, and that I think is why I have any affinity, because I feel like he gets such a raw deal, I want to give him something good.
Like, yeah, he is another sort of tragic Gale figure.
Yeah, a sweet person who was just trying to help out, you know?
Yep, did nothing wrong. I mean, except for weed, which you should never do. mostly because it just makes you hungry. But where do you think? Oh, yeah, you never gave a grade. So we're A minus B plus territory?
Yeah.
Sounds like? Yeah, okay. Where do you think The Ringer ranks us?
46.
It's 32.
Oh, that's my favorite
I'm
number.
That's nice.
Yeah.
This often get, like, when I always go to The Ringer just because they ranked all of them, and I'm sure there's other ones out there. But I'll see a lot of, like, Breaking Bad top 10 episodes of all time, and this is often in the top 10 of, like, little lists I see. I'm actually surprised it's this low on the Ringer's list. But there you go.
That's wild. Do you think they like included in top 10 because it says Heisenberg for the first time?
That the people like that ending. Even it, the ending is cool, even if it does, if to some people it doesn't make sense, the transaction that happens. Or I guess I'm just kind of looking at all the other ones that are ahead of it, and I guess they're no, because there's ones like Hermanos that are like fine. I wouldn't put that ahead of it. That's the one where you see that big Gus flashback.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I like to think about how I find Gus so sexy all the time.
Gus is sexy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we did it.
We did another one. Good job, Adam.
One. Good job, Meg. Yeah, well done. We're getting longer at these, yeah. Which I think is good. I think that just means we're getting more comfortable. We're finally hitting our stride.
We're really, people have been clamoring. They say longer, please, longer.
Longer, more. Is what it's all my emails. They just say more.
Please,
except for the ones from Cambridge, and they'll go more.
Yeah, with an A.
They write it out phonetically. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm happy that they do that.
Well, I guess until next time.
Until next time, a mighty fine Heisenberg to you, fair listener.
Bye.